Hello, greetings. This recording is for week number 5. This is the study guide covering Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. Just a reminder to those of you who are listening and are following along using the Ephesians study guide, be sure to be doing community with one another. Be sure to be being proactive about connecting with one another and serving others as a small group. To your community, to your neighbors, to one another. So be sure to be doing that as well. If you are looking for more information as to how to get connected at Willingdon Church or how to serve, go to our website. There are different areas of ministry that are listed, upcoming events, important announcements. So that's Willingdon, WILLINGDON.org, Willingdon.org. And look up some of the ministries that are coming up, important events for outreach, for edifying, for growing in your faith, hope, and love. Well, why don't we begin? We have 6 questions for the study guide covering Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. First question, read and discuss the connections between Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10 and Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Look at Ephesians 1:1-10. Is your testimony from week 4 study gospel-centered? What do you need to modify or add to your testimony? So the guided answer to this, the first one, the connection between the two passages is the before and after picture of who we were before Christ and who we are now in Christ. As week 4 reminds us from the introduction that if you turn to week 4, you'll see in the introduction it tells us that in that study, however sinful a believer once was, it reveals how deep the mercy and reveals the love of God towards them. So when we study verses 1 to 3, the point of that is to see how sinful we once were, and therefore showing how deep the mercy and the love of God is towards us. Now, when we get to verses 4 to 10, it tells us that we who are now believers through faith and repentance in Christ are now in Christ. So in verses 4 to 10, there's a clear contrast between verses 1 to 3, which speaks of who we were before Christ. 4 to 10 tells us who we are now in Christ. So in some ways, you could look at the study in this week, week number 5, the second part of the good news. It's the second part of the good news. So without one or the other, without verses 1 to 3 or without verses 4 to 10, we miss out on understanding the full gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the good news message of salvation. So that's the connection. The second part of the question, is your testimony from week 4's study gospel-centered? What do you need to do to modify to your testimony? So the second part of the question is to help you orient your understanding of the gospel. Sometimes we don't have a full gospel understanding. The gospel confronts our sinful and dead state before God. This is evident in that we walked according to the course of this world that is opposed to honoring and exalting God. That before Christ, our sinfulness is to fall short to the glory of God in how we act, in how we think, in how we speak, and how we worship everything except for God, our Creator. But because of God's great love, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God made us alive through His only Son, Jesus Christ, who took on our penalty on the cross. Jesus is our atonement for sins and the penalty of sin that we justly deserve. Now this is love. And on the third day, Jesus resurrects from the dead, defeating sin and death that would enslave all of creation. So Jesus defeats this, defeats sin and death. Jesus is alive and is seated at the right hand of the Father and is given all authority and power in heaven and on earth. Jesus rules over all creation, evident in His church, and that is the body of Christ. That Christ's body, the church, would be what makes Jesus known in all the world and all the universe. And so it's important for us to understand the full gospel, to be able to explain from sin to death to life to hope and the resurrection, to displaying all of God's glory. And so hope this question sort of helps orient people to understand the full gospel and not just one aspect of the gospel. The last part of the question, what do you need to modify or add to your testimony? With regards to testimony, I found an article yesterday on May 5th in 2016 in Vancouver Sun online. So VancouverSun.com put out an article describing how a woman who was a rising star in the porn industry gave it all up, gave up all of this for God. And so in this article, this article being Vancouver Sun, a non-Christian newspaper, they detail the story of this woman who, before she knew Christ, and before she knew Christ, she was living in darkness. She was in the porn industry. She was addicted to drugs, and her life was spiraling out of control. And it tells her story of who she was and who she is now in Christ, and what she's doing to honor God and to praise and declare His goodness. So, when we talk about testimonies, I think that's, if you want an example of that, her testimony is quite powerful, actually. And it's not her power that is her life, but it's her life that declares the power of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus, that is the power of God to salvation. And so if you want an example, you can go find it. May 5th, 2016, Vancouver Sun. And I think the title is of the article, Rising Porn Star, trying to find it, I don't remember what it is, the title exactly, but it's about a porn star who gives it all up for God. And so that's May 5th, 2016, VancouverSun.com. Question number two. What does Scripture teach about being seated with Jesus? Reflect and share a time with someone embraced, when someone embraced you with thoughtful hospitality. How is your hospitality a reflection of God's gracious and warm hospitality towards others? So the first part of the question, you should read Luke chapter 22, verses 26 to 27, and read Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. You can find that in your book to the side part of the book. So after you read those two passages, Luke tells us that Jesus is both the one who is in a place of greatness, and yet equally so in his greatness, Jesus demonstrates humility in serving others. Now, small group leaders, it might be worthwhile to also read, if you want, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Again, that's Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, which speaks of Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. Now, this is a great point about who Jesus is as the Lord, as our Lord and Savior. You know, Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 to 21 is also profound because it describes the saints who are in Christ are also included and seated with Jesus at this table, the table that is his throne. And so the imagery that we see in Luke and Revelation and Philippians paints a very beautiful picture of how God extends his hospitality, embraces us in a place of honor, and how he does this by not only inviting us, but serving us. So that's the first part. The second part, hospitality, this language, this imagery, it's a very biblical imagery that Jesus himself extends towards us. Hospitality conveys embrace, love, self-sacrifice, and exaltation of others. Now, in most cultures in the world, to show hospitality is a big deal. Filipino culture demonstrates this in their love for people, family, and food. In Japan, it's important to treat patrons at their restaurants with such care and attention as though the customers are of most importance. Although I am not certain, but I remember someone sharing with me, or I think in a class or something, that in Afghan culture, when someone is received by someone into their home, that person has become one of the members or has become a member of the family. They are therefore to be treated, cared for, protected by not just the family, but the whole entire village. Now, that's the reason why in that movie, if you've seen it or not, called Lone Survivor with Mark Wahlberg, if you watch that movie near the end, you kind of see this hospitality being displayed and embraced. So in the movie, they they receive this lone soldier, and so now the village has to protect this person from the Taliban, I believe, in Afghanistan. So again, hospitality shown in different cultures, and it's also a very biblical imagery. It's a beautiful imagery of showing embrace, love, self-sacrifice, and exaltation of other people. And Jesus displays that as well. So that's question number two with regards to hospitality and showing hospitality to one another and how Jesus displays that and demonstrates this. Question number three, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, how are you raised up and seated with Jesus when you have not physically died? In other words, how do you make sense of this? So the guided answer to this, be sure to read this verse in its context again when you answer the question. So like all of the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, which we read in Ephesians chapter 1, believers have the Holy Spirit as the guarantee or as our guarantee of the inheritance that we have in Christ. Now, this is certain, and we can trust God in that. Likewise, in Christ, we have a future resurrection. Because of God's great love, He not only saved us, but also gave us a future resurrection that we can look forward to. And with the resurrection comes a place with Jesus in the heavenly places in Christ. So not only is there a resurrection, but there's also this place of honor with Jesus. These promises are already accomplished events that are for us in the future. So I'll say that again. These promises of resurrection and being seated with Christ are already accomplished events that are for us in the future. As the Holy Spirit is the assurance of our inheritance, Jesus Christ is our assurance of our resurrection and our place in the heavenly places. And so that's important for us to understand. So even though we have not physically died, these promises are assured, and we have this for the future. So that's question number four. If you have any further questions, if you're not following along, or if you maybe are thinking of something, you want to contact me, you certainly can. My email is ahy@willingdon.org, or you can call the office at Willingdon Church and speak to myself or one of the other pastors. So continuing on, question number four. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, is the coming ages something that Christians wait for, or is it present-day language? Explain. In order to understand verses 7, or verse 7's the word coming age, you need to understand verses 4 to 6, as it is the context to Paul's point. As mentioned in question 3, our salvation, our forgiveness of sins, our resurrection, our eternal place with Jesus in the heavenly places is fully completed and have its assurance in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's important for us to understand this. This is important for us to grasp and hold on to, because it will help us understand the coming age. So in Jesus Christ, these are all completed. They're all completed. But in us, our salvation is not complete, in that we are looking forward to Jesus' return to complete our salvation. We're looking forward to Jesus Christ's return to complete our salvation. Jesus' return is called the coming age. So we are looking forward to this coming age. And until this happens, the Holy Spirit is our assurance that our unavoidable guarantee of this hope that we have in Jesus Christ is sure, it's certain, it's guaranteed, because Jesus Himself has completed our salvation. He has completed it on through His life, death, resurrection, through having all authority and power in heaven and earth, through the promise that He will return. So these things are guaranteed and completed. And so, again, if you're having a hard time with this question, please feel free to contact me as well. So that's how we kind of understand the coming ages, and how it's present-day language, but also looking forward to the future as well. Our question number five, why does God show His immeasurable riches and grace in kindness towards us? How do you bless others with your actions? When do you struggle with showing others the grace that Christ shows you? So the first part of the question, be sure to read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, And be sure to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. Now we start to get into the part of the study where we see the purpose of our new life in Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, it says that Paul is saying, I have received mercy so that Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. And similarly, Paul prays in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 to 12, that God would make them worthy of their calling for the purpose of Jesus being glorified. So, and also we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, in the coming ages, God might show his immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness. So here we see this repeated theme in Scripture that tells us God does things to display his beautiful, infinite glory. And we see this not just in the passages that I've read, but we also see it in other areas such as in the Exodus. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Why? So that they may know the name of Yahweh. So that they may know the name of Yahweh. In Psalm 51, David prays after he commits adultery and murder. He prays that God would forgive him and cleanse him so that David may teach transgressors of God's ways and sinners will return to God. And so we need to understand that our new identity in Christ has a purpose that flows out of our life towards others. Therefore, we need to daily be in the Word of God because the Word of God teaches us how to be a blessing to others. And we need to actually bless others with our life. We can't just contemplate on blessing others, but we need to actually be moved to act on blessing or act towards serving or blessing others, therefore displaying the glory of God. And so that's important for us to understand and comprehend, because Christianity is not just about us. It's not just about our salvation. It's about God. It's about God's glory. So the second part of the question, when do you struggle with showing grace towards others? This is a discussion question. Be sure to be sharing this with your group. Let's just say if you don't get to this question because you ran out of time, encourage your group to meet with one another or talk with one another throughout the week to discuss this this question. When do you struggle with showing grace? It's this idea of being vulnerable and allowing God's light to shine into your vulnerability. Knowing that there's hope, there's forgiveness, there is healing, there's restoration. So invite others in your small group to do that for you, to walk with you as you shine God's light in your weaknesses and in your struggles. The last question, question number six. How do Psalms help you understand the word workmanship in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10? Share an example of when you obeyed the Lord's call to do good work. What was the outcome? Be sure to read Psalm 100, verses 1 to 5. Because we are made by God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and identified as a son or a daughter through repentance and faith, we are to make a joyful noise, as the Psalm 100 says. We are to make a joyful noise. We are to serve. We are to come into God's presence with singing and thanksgiving. In Psalms, the object of our worship is the Lord. It is only the Lord that is the object of our worship. So therefore, our life worships the Lord. So when we serve and bless others, we are blessing them with the Lord. And so Psalm 100 verses 1 to 10, I'm sorry, verses 1 to 5 helps us understand this and see this because of who we are and as redeemed people, as God's workmanship for the purpose of displaying God's glory. What a beautiful reminder that's how our worship, how our life can be a blessing to others by pointing them to know the Lord. The second part of the question is a sharing question or sharing time. Help people see that God's plan of working through their life is for good. I know that sometimes we can dwell on just the negativity or complainers or just lazy or sometimes just feeling sorry for ourselves. And so help people see that God's plan of working through their life is for good, is for God's glory, and that we might even be surprised by what God might do through us. So, you know, if we make excuses about doing good works for the Lord and blessing others, We need to be pointing people to see that how God wants to make himself known through to the world, through the church, through us, the body of Christ. And so if there's a story, please share a story, because it's nice to see and hear how we can be surprised by what God can do through us. So those are the questions for your study guide, questions 1 to 6, covering Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. This is week 5 study guide. And again, if you have any questions, please email me at ahy@willingdon.org. I'm Pastor Andy. And again, I just want to encourage you to be in small group, to be connected, to be doing group serve with your group, to be ministering to others with the beautiful message of Jesus Christ. So blessings to you. And if you're interested in looking to see what events are coming up, go to our website, willingdon.org, and join us as we are growing together in our faith, hope, and love, and being a blessing to others. Blessings to you. Take care. God bless. This week, if you are if you're looking for our pastoral podcast discussion on the respond questions, unfortunately, this week we will not have one, but we'll have one next week for sure. So, hope you're having a good week, and the rest of your week is a blessing. Take care.